at that time, I was starting my PhD program, and I was very interested in questions around landscape fragmentation and the effects on different wildlife species. But I'd done quite a bit of work on birds already. And I became aware of what was happening in boreal forests across Canada, actually. And so got involved in discussions with Alberta Pacific Forest Industries and with the Alberta government around the potential for looking at some, what we saw as fairly foreseeable consequences of the current operating ground rules that were sort of dictating forest management operations at the time. And those specifically had to do with issues around the rotation age that was projected for the forest, which we thought would result in a significant truncation of the age distribution. So we would be getting an increasingly younger forest as harvesting proceeded in the area. So we were concerned about the loss of older forest, and then also associated with that, because of the type of forest harvesting that we anticipated that would happen, again, under the sort of the operating guidelines at the time, we anticipated that those remaining areas of older forest would become increasingly small and isolated. So those were sort of highlighted issues for us, and our concerns from that really came from experience in other parts of North America and other parts of the world as well, actually, about what had happened to wildlife communities and bird communities in particular as forest areas were converted to other land uses and became increasingly isolated into smaller patches. And there had been substantial declines of migratory bird populations throughout the northeastern U.S. and southern Canada as well in association with those land use activities.
How important is the boreal forest to these birds?
Well, the boreal forest in Canada is the major breeding range for many North American bird species, and so it's been referred to as the North American bird nursery. And as we've learned more about the boreal forest, we've come to appreciate their significance to a much greater degree. But at the time we started this research, and this was a very much collaborative research, as I mentioned, with the forest industry, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, with the Alberta government, and also with other researchers. So Susan Hannon, who's a professor at the University of Alberta, was also very much involved at the time. And we had not a lot of knowledge to go on in terms of the significance of the boreal forest. And as we came to study them and as people came to appreciate just how important these extensive areas across northern Canada were to bird populations, migratory bird populations in particular, the concern level rose because we realized that these were really the strongholds for many North American bird populations because a number of these species had distributions that did go further south in Canada into the northern U.S., but those areas had been lost over time, and so this really was a very significant remaining forest area and breeding range for many of those species and for some always their historic breeding range as well, so that this was where they came each year to breed.
When you set up the study area, how did you physically set it up?
A lot of time on the ground. In the first year that we spent out here in the field, we were basically just tromping through that area looking for good places to set up the sampling plots. But actually prior to that, we spent a lot of time poring over maps, looking at which areas ALPAC was planning on going in and harvesting first. So we wanted to sort of take advantage of the fact that these areas were going to be harvested and look at how we could modify those practices to allow for the experiment that we eventually implemented to take place. And so we had narrowed it down to a few areas. We did some ground truthing in those areas, narrowed it down further to the Colling Lake area, and then that first summer just hit the ground, and there was very little access at that time. We spent the time mostly on foot, sometimes on just narrow cut lines, and mostly on transects through the forest using a compass and just getting a feel for the area and deciding where the best places would be to locate our sampling areas to sort of ensure that they were as comparable as possible, the areas that we were setting up for experimental harvest and the ones that we wanted to maintain in an unharvested state as our controls or reference areas. And from that, the experimental design emerged.
And the design itself, you have plots of various sizes. What would they be?
We have plots out in the Colling Lake area that range in size from 1 to 100 hectares. And so we have a series of 3 1-hectare areas, of 10 hectare areas, 40 hectare areas, and 100 hectare areas. And those exist both as our experimental areas and then also as plots within the large control area. And we had a second level sort of the experiment that we did, which was looking at the implications of leaving areas of older forest connected to the riparian buffer strips, so the mandated buffer areas around Lake lakes and large streams. And so we refer to these as our connected fragments. And we again had another set of those that were 110 and 40 hectares in size.
When you look back over the 20 years then, what sorts of things did you learn?
Well, we learned a lot about the basic bird community and the basic ecology of the forests in this area. So that was just sort of foundational information that didn't exist at the time. What birds are occurring in these habitats? What is the forest structure like? There were a lot of assumptions about boreal forests and being these sort of, you know, expanses of relatively barren forests that didn't support a whole lot. And of course, it's turned out not to be true at all, particularly of the mixedwood forests in Alberta and through the boreal plains. They're very rich, diverse forests, very productive in many ways. In terms of the actual experiment that we implemented, we discovered that a number of the bird species, in fact, were found almost exclusively in the older forests, so they weren't found in younger forest types, so they were vulnerable to loss of those forests. And in addition to that, we found that they were as well sensitive to the fragmentation of those forests. So there was a significant relationship with the patch size. So the larger patches that we created did a much better job of supporting the bird communities through the harvesting than the smaller patches did. But we also found that, you know, there were a lot of dynamic processes going on. And much of our understanding of the effects of forest loss and fragmentation were based on experience in quite different systems, so largely in temperate forests, and ones that had been reduced and fragmented by land conversion, so conversion to agricultural areas or urban areas. And so these forest patches really had become islands in a very dissimilar matrix. And what we quickly learned in the boreal forest system, which in retrospect really doesn't seem surprising at all, is that these weren't the same at all, in the sense that although the forest harvesting obviously took forest away, it was growing back. These weren't permanent conversion areas. There was younger forest growing back. It might be a slightly different composition, but it was still creating new habitat for species, and these areas were getting recolonized quite quickly after harvesting. They supported, at least initially, quite a different bird community, so ones that would come into early disturbance forests, things like sparrows and those that you find in more open habitats typically, and then as those forests regenerated a little bit more, ones associated with sort of shrubby type communities moved in, and then ones associated with younger cereal forests. And over time, too, we found that the contrast between the older forest patches that were left and the regenerating forest has softened, has been reduced for a number of the species. And so we'll see some of the older forest species, even though they're primarily still occupying the older forest remnants, they will take forays out into the regenerating forest to forage, or perhaps because there's a good song post there. So in some ways it's alleviated some of the concerns that we've had about the perpetuity of the bird communities in the system, because they are occupying the regenerating forest. But it's also highlighted for us those species that we do need to be concerned about and put special management practices in place to ensure that the habitat that they require is maintained over time, both in terms of the amount of the older habitat, but also how it's distributed on the landscape. And so initially, the forest harvesting guidelines would have only left very small patches of older forest. And so this research has really demonstrated to us that it's important to have those larger patches and to maintain them over the long term through forest harvesting for those species that are not able to adjust to the changes associated with the harvesting.
This project really started out as your PhD work, and yet 20 years later, it's had a tremendous impact on all kinds of scientific research, government policy. What do you see as being the legacy of your work?
I think it's a difficult question in many respects, but when I look back on those 20 years, there are a few things that are highlighted for me, and some of them have to do with the research itself and our findings from the research and how that's influenced both policy and on-the-ground practices. And so I would say that, you know, Alberta Pacific as an industry partner to this research has been responsive to the results of this research, and they've changed their practices as a result. And we've seen some shifts in government policy also to reflect that. So that's, I think, a tangible result of the research. We've also had over 100 field assistants associated with the Calling Lake project over the years, and I now see those people in various positions throughout the Alberta government, throughout governments in Canada, working with environmental organizations, working with the forest industry, in a variety of walks in life, and they're having also tangible influences. And so it's been a real training ground for many of those field assistants. And it's also supported a number of other graduate projects over the years. And some of those people are in research positions in government or industry or in academia, and similarly sort of continuing to perpetuate that. Also, the long-term data set that we've accumulated from Calling Lake, the 20-year data set now, is quite unique in terms of its temporal breadth of data sets in Canada, particularly for forest songbirds. And so the learning from that and our ability to use the data set from our control areas or reference areas in particular as a comparative measure for many other areas, not just in Alberta but across Canada, has been very important also. So we can understand things about the natural dynamics of the system and the populations of bird species that are associated with them that would have been impossible without having that long-term data set. So it's quite rewarding to sort of see how that accumulation of information has just increased both our understanding and impacts in a number of different ways.
Looking at this and the birds that are there any species that stand out for you that we really need to watch out for?
There are a few species that seem to be declining due to a variety of reasons, both perhaps to natural changes in the system and also in association with land use changes. So we've talked a lot about forestry today and forestry operations, but of course anyone who's familiar with the northern Alberta landscapes will know that there are many other agents also changing forest landscapes in northern Alberta right now. And there are some species that are just not very flexible in response to that. So the black-throated green warbler is one that we've done a fair amount of work on, and it's closely associated with the older mixedwood forests throughout many portions of its range in western Canada. It has shown significant patch size effects as well, and our projections over the long term show that, you know, we could experience significant population declines and even reductions in the range of this species under what were sort of the historic mandated forest practices. Now, moving more towards ecosystem-based management and looking at representing forest harvesting more in tune with natural disturbances, I think is going to help to reduce some of those impacts. But the bottom line will be that we need to ensure that there's sufficient older forest across these landscapes to support those species into the future. And that's something that does require changes.
Thank you very much, Fiona.
Thanks, Cheryl.